I'm just trying to make some general inquiries. I was trying to find out how I can bring a case back into the Supreme Court for independent review, juristical review, because of it's had an error in law and it's holding me basically hostage in my house illegally. It was fraudulently made, and I can prove the fraudulent errors.
Okay, well, this is the Supreme Court. We're the final stage in our justice system.
Yes, that's correct. I've been through JR and I've been through everything else, and the executive director, I've got lots of recordings of evidence. She falsified an ASBO application, which was called the Organisation of Illegal Raves. When she signed it all, Sarah Gilchrist, under Sir Gil's solicitor firm, she basically, when she was patronising it, indexing it, she was putting away what's hearsay evidence and what is normal evidence. She put down 20 police officers, all the highest ranking, as hearsay evidence. So the case relied solely on hearsay, which I know by law it's not under Habeas Legis 2007, the Commissioner of Police. It's against the law for a case.
Okay, so I could just stop you for a moment. If you want to bring a case to the Supreme Court, you need to speak to our registry department.
Okay.
Because we're in recess at the moment, they're not going to reopen until the 10th of January, so they won't be able to take any calls until then. So if you want to bring a case here, you would need to ring us back after that date, I'm afraid.
Okay, I understand that, and I'm grateful for your advice. I've got the registry number here, and I've already listened to the person. Because they never got the members of the public to sign the signatures on the MG11 form, so there's no members of public. They falsified it. I've been phoning them, recording them, explaining to them different ways that we can go about having this rectified. They can call an EGM meeting, and they can go in themselves, and under trespass, because they never proved trespass, the illegality in the case, they could have dropped it, but she's refusing to do that. She's leaving me hostage in my house. I keep having heart attacks, and I've got videos in every room, and they keep attacking me.
I'm really sorry, I can't comment on this any further,
okay.
I'm afraid.
How can I go about, in, say there was an emergency issue right now where someone's life is in threat, and it's an EGM meeting, an EGM error, fatal error in the law, and I'm being held captive by statutory people, by statutory duties being breached, and the reasonable people using their abuse of position to, and now I'm being held captive because, and there's no signatures on the paperwork, there's no members of the public wanted to accept the thing. How can I actually make this happen today and get a, or tomorrow and get an emergency judge to get up and to take this application and deal with it?
Just bear with you a moment. I'm just going to pass over to my colleague.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, Supreme Court.
Hello, how are you doing? Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Sarah. I work in the education and outreach team. How can I help?
I've had a few issues, Sarah. Basically, in 2013, I basically got put on stringent bail conditions. I had my passport taken off me. I had everything. I was kept in my house, basically. I won the case after a year at court. This caused me serious, like, financial economic losses. It caused me damages in my life and everything like that, yeah? With my personal life, yeah? So I lost my partner of 13 years. I left my house, and I basically won the case just at the beginning of 14. I got released. 2 months into it, I met a new partner. I started to live with my new partner, and we was happy for 8 months. At the same time as this was going on, I got served an application outside my front door. It was an ASBO application. I looked through the ASBO application. It accused me of being 6 people that I wasn't. 3 of them could be your children. They were younger people that I don't know. And 3 of them were associates of mine in the past. Yeah, but I'd been doing lots of good things for the community. I had the keys to my community hall while I was kept on curfew for the first one. I was working for Lock to Lock Festival, cerebral palsy, doing kids with cerebral palsy. I was doing everything in my community. Yeah, and then basically when I was, so I knew I hadn't done nothing wrong over the 13 to 14 while I was on the bail conditions for the first case. I wouldn't have won it. And then basically, after meeting this partner for 8 months, they threw an ASBO outside my front door. I looked in it, accused me of being basically a load of people. So I went to Facebook and I copied the Facebook profiles out of the events proving that I'd never done this. So I knew straight away I had the evidence proving it wasn't me. Yeah, and I wasn't the organiser of these events. And I read through the paperwork and I noticed that trespass hadn't been, all the police officers in their own statement said that there were sections on the doors, and that because of this, it becomes a private place of residence, and there needs to be a breach under the Licensing Act 2003. So under Apex 4 of the Licensing Act, it says personal homes and back gardens are not against the law. You don't have to have a license in place. unless you want to make commercial business and you're making money. It's not against the law to make money on a door, but if you have intentions of making profit, then it becomes illegal and a place of residence. So throughout the whole application, they never talked about money, which is what their line of investigation should have been. So I went there and I said, well, I'm not going to be a grass and grassy people. I'm not giving them the Facebook profiles. I showed Sally in the things that I've got these Facebook profiles and you're not setting me up. Yeah, I said, I went there and the judge couldn't prove a legality. At first, they tried to get four or five judges on me, at first I got served in 14 for the injunction, with the injunction. They couldn't get the injunction, the ASBO on me, or the conditions for the injunction till 2015. Four judges kept throwing the application and kept different judges and walked out. I've got all their names and every judge and every courtroom all marked out in a report. I've done a diary for every day, yeah? And then basically what initially happened is the judges kept throwing it out, saying no. Then all of a sudden they darkened my name, used my personal information and lied and said that I had some rubbish about me, which I've got all the recordings, my medical notes, and I've never argued with my partner. Me and my partner still talk. Yeah, we're still good friends. We've never argued. I've got all the SMS texts and everything, yeah? So what Sally Gilhurst done was she turned my name into a bad name, and then she got a rapist judge called Judge Pigger, who deals with child offenders, to oversee my case. Now, this was only a civil court case, like a civil matters. It's a standalone ASBO, even though they called it the Organisation of Illegal Raves, yeah? So I went to court and I explained. I went to court anyway, and she threw a 5-year ASBO on me plus the 2 years for the injunction order. So I'd done 7 years for that, plus I read a year for the gazebo case before, which I won. So that's 8 years of my life. Yeah. So I got upset because she couldn't prove a legality, and when I got the copy of the court transcripts, all the coppers were getting off going, we copied this out of Sergeant King's notes, and they're all getting in trouble, you know, the disciplinary action. My barrister's having to go, you're all here saying none of you were even at the event, 15 coppers, this is out of order, yeah? What you're doing, the judge still set me up and gave me the ASBO, yeah? And you can't prove a legality. The judge admitted she couldn't prove a legality, but she still gave it to me. I went home now, because I'd wrote a really nice report where I wouldn't grass my friends up. I understand the laws of trespass on the land that I live off. I understand the nominal laws. I understand my Magna Carta. And I understand my human rights. Every one of my continental. I understand the laws better than any person I've met so far. Yeah, I've studied them harder. All the barristers say it. Simon, we've studied all our lives and we don't know no one. We're jealous, to be honest, that you know more than us about everything. Yeah, I know every act off by heart. Yeah, there ain't a law. I've studied it to look after everybody, yeah, and every statutory duty, every regulation, conditions, I know it, yeah, I read everyone's paperwork, yeah, I wrote all new
How is it, sorry, just to cut you short, how is it, I mean, what actually happened is,
Sally Gilhurst, now when I went back after doing all that, I got upset and I started looking through the application, and I noticed that all the call centre, 999 call centres, timestamps went backwards, the CAD numbers. So say at 12 o'clock, under NSI, Home Office Counting Rules, these things are, under CD, Communication Data, they should all be recorded, and under Regulations 2000 Act, yeah? Now these things here shouldn't be tampered with, they're very serious things, they breach our human rights when they're tampered. Basically, I noticed that all at CAD 500 happens every day at Bow, for instance. Now I noticed in the CADs, CAD 500 had a timestamp of 1 o'clock, then CAD number 560 has a timestamp of 12 o'clock, and this kept happening through all the paperwork. None of them had URN numbers on the paperwork, where they're supposed to be interlinked through processing. I asked for them to be done. I asked for the recordings, audio of the 999 recordings, and they said it's all been destroyed. It's not allowed to be destroyed for 50 years. I asked for a copy of the PNC books to be disclosed under MG6, yeah, and undisclosed information. They said that all they ain't got no pocket notebooks, yeah. Now listen, now I got really upset now when I understood that they've destroyed all these recordings, they've destroyed the notebooks. And I noticed things. So I looked at the signatures at the bottom of the MG11 forms, which are the witness statements forms, and there's no signatures on none of them. Yeah, so there's no members of the public. Then Sally Gilhurst has admitted this in her writing, saying, yeah, no members of the public wanted to sign witness statements. And Mr. Cordell believes that there's a magnitude of CADs that are wrong in numbers. And if this is true, the conspiracy would be so big on the metropolitan side, it just can't be true. I've been through 20 court cases, appeals and everything. Every time I go to court, they make the solicitor run away the next day, yeah? So I have to go on that litigant on my own. I don't think it's fair. I had legal aid granted for this case. Now, I've been held in my house since 2004. I've been recording Sally Gilhurst all the time saying, well, look, you look at cab number 500, forget the timestamps are wrong, and forget that you've got no signatures and no first-hand evidence. You look at cab number 500, it says that the 999 caller said at 10 o'clock, he phoned the police on a Friday. He says, okay, all white people and white females are entering a building. I believe they're going to have a rave. Inspector Skinner goes to the building. He surrounds the building and don't let nobody in and out. He's got everyone in the building. He does name checks and all car registrations. I've got every car and every name of everyone in there, all the white people that was in the building. He had them from 10 o'clock. One of them people was Anthony Harris, one of the boys that got done for Andrew Rio's death. And he was on bail conditions not to throw no more parties. I was on curfew all this time, so I couldn't have done all of it, yeah? So now, I've gone down to, they've got Anthony Harris in this building on bail conditions, throwing his own party. I don't even know who this Anthony Harris is, one of the youngest I was protecting. I'm fed up now, because I don't want to ride another 3 years. They said I've got to sit in another 3 years, yeah? Till 2020, this is all over. Yeah, but basically now, what I noticed that I went to the building at 3 o'clock in the morning. Inspector Skinner de-arrested Anthony Harris and everyone that he had at 10 o'clock and arrested me outside the gates, knowing I couldn't get into the building or nothing, and they set me up in the paperwork again. You can prove it very easy, yeah? I've even spoke to Anthony Harris now, yeah? Now all of the notes, yeah, what initially happened is Jane Johnson, who's the commanding borough, she's now being put into royal diplomatic protection. I was phoning asking, they're dead, yeah, you're right, but I've tried to protect them. This is the way forward for them, and I've just phoned Sally Gilhurst less than an hour ago and told her, look, Sally, take hold of the reins. I've recorded you, all the reins. Just call an EGM meeting back under the company. Just accept there was an error in law and the trespass went wrong. That trespass wasn't present in these buildings and release me. The reason I want the conditions released is because you're holding me in my house. Yeah, after 10 o'clock, a 7-year curfew before 10 o'clock. Your Supreme Court dealt with counter-terrorism. It's in your documentary where people are getting held in the house illegally at minute 46 in your film, in the documentary, with Prince Philip and all that, and all the rest of it when they're in their homes. And it shows that you don't allow people to be held in their houses like this, yeah? I've had to ride 4 years so far, yeah, and I'm not allowed to leave. I can't leave my house before 10 o'clock, because if I leave before 10 o'clock before my curfew, these lot are avoiding disciplinary action. I've caught them all, and I've reported this, and it's all in the response bundle. I've got a response bundle 600 pages long, yeah? Now, what made it even worse is, yeah, so I know it's a lot I'm going through with you. Now, what made it worse is, Jane Johnson's told Steve Ellsmore to do this. As a gold commander, she can change the computer ID. She's allowed to do that, yeah? But there's certain things that she can't amend within the PNC, yeah? And her paper chase was left there for amending it. So I kept phoning the call centre and asking for them, their help. And again, oh, you're a black bastard recording it. Again, you're a black bastard, you're being robbed. So I put the phone down after recording it. I kept saying, who's Stephen Ellsmore's Lions manager? No one would tell me that it's an Aaron Thompson, Sergeant Aaron Thompson. Now, eventually, I got someone to phone me back, and Aaron Thompson's phoned me back. I didn't know it was him. Now, I've gone through all the lists with Aaron Thompson on the phone in 14, and he didn't tell me he's Steve Ellsmore's Lion manager. Now, a couple of phone calls later, speaking to the call centre again, please help get me out of my house. You can't be doing this to me and Shannon. We've never argued. Shannon's mum's killed herself and everything, yeah? They banged through my nan's death. They let all my neighbours attack me and everything, my loved ones. And I've never had a party in my house in my life. I was building a model constitution in my house, CIC company. I've got 100% in traditional words, 100% in grammar. I work hard, yeah? I studied and hard to look after the people and look after myself, yeah? And they've done this to me, yeah? What Steve Ellsmore's done in the computer, he's gone and got all the inspectors who were pulling me over on a normal day. Now, all them reports were normal things, like pulling me over on a Thursday on Alma Road, 12 o'clock, and they were all good reports, like just our reports, and he said, oh, he's building a festival, and he's bought a couple of sound systems. Then what he's done is, instead of just copying and taking them out of the PNC and putting them straight into the computer, he's opened and edited them. So that tampers the evidence. And in tampering the evidence, he's now edited it and he's adding an R. And he said that he's part of a black boy occupation and he lives on Brancroft Avenue. Scribbled it all in on the edit. Then they put that in the application. Then what makes it even worse is ordered the CAD numbers. There was two parties on the same day. One on the 7th. The only one that hasn't. The whole reason that this is happening, yeah, is because people got kept up overnight. That's the prejudice of the case, yeah. On one weekend, yeah. On the 7th of June 2014, there was a party at Progress Way, yeah, which is on off the Great Cambridge Lincoln Road, Edmonton, North London. Now, what initially happened is, prior to that, I'd been on curfew. There's another road, Southbury Road, yeah. I'm recording this conversation as well, so, and I'm going to transcribe this up, and it's going to be put into my official report, and I'm going to be serving you. I've recorded everything, yeah, and I don't muck about. I want this dealt with, yeah. I'm not being held hostage in my house, yeah, illegally because of fraudulent activity within the company heads.
Okay, but as my colleague, I appreciate you telling me your account of things. As my colleague mentioned to you, the Supreme Court, first and foremost, it only deals with ongoing cases. So these are, we hear appeals, so your case needs to have gone to the High Court.
It has already.
Or the Court of Appeal. And also the department that deals with this, they're actually...
away till the 5th, yeah, I understand
until
that.
Next Wednesday. So whatever you're telling me, unfortunately, I can't do anything with it. I mean, I can listen, but I can't advise you, and I can't do anything with it. You're going to have to speak to them. But what I would advise you, unless you've done this already, is to contact inside the Royal Courts of Justice. They've got their own Citizens Advice Centre, and they give out, you can book an appointment with them, and they can give you legal advice. I mean, I've got a number for them.
I wanted to act litigant on the case myself. I just want to bring the case before the court, litigant myself. I'm happy to act. Yeah. I understand the laws that I represent of the land that I live off of.
Okay, so if you want to apply as a litigant in person, then you need to speak to someone in the registry to see whether you are eligible to make an application, and they can talk you through the process if you are. I mean, I don't know if you've got a direct number, but I can give it to you.
Yeah, I've got the number. I've got the number for the registration. Is that the number that you're going to give to me?
The registry. Yeah, it's the registry. 1992.
Yeah, 1992 or 1991. Is that what you're referring to?
Okay, so
I will speak to yourself shortly afterwards, after the 10th, I believe, then.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I'm sorry to bring such a burden upon you, yeah. Lot. Like, it's not something that I would like to bring
no,
to your court.
Fine.
And I have tried to resolve it before bringing it to you so that it doesn't cause no problems. But she spent over £1 million on the application of ASBO holding me in my house illegally. And that's why they won't turn back, even in court when we're asking them, showing them everything. They're saying they don't care. They've spent too much money on the case. And my life's more important than the amount of money they spent on the case. You know, like I've protected their jobs and I've protected them. And they won't do what's right and just release me. And they've got options available. I've been barred from working with any other city, with any borough. I'm not allowed to hire sand to any person. Yeah, I'm not allowed to hire it to anyone without Enfield Council's permission. Yeah, or a personal license. That's a breach of my human rights. Yeah, I've wrote to every other council, and every other council's said that they've got special licensing departments. And that, because this is said the organisation of illegal raves, it means that there's an illegal aspect to it, and I have to go on a special committee with every borough just to have a temporary event licence or a personal licence. They've all said that there's something wrong with the application, I need to bring it back to Enfield Council. Then Enfield Council's entangled my personal data in a sex scandal, yeah, when I've got all my medical notes, all hospital notes and everything, proving that there's nothing wrong with me, and they've allowed members of my neighbours to attack me continuously. I continue to record it and ask the police for their response as a CFS call for services, and they continue to neglect their responsibilities towards me, and I've continued to record and document it, and the evidence is just horrible to what has actually happened here. And I'm going to allow you to continue with your day, and I'm grateful that you've took your time to listen to me.
You're welcome. Make sure you call next week to see if the registry are able to help you with
Oh, yeah, my problem caseload.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Okay, thank you.